नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड ऋषभ देव्स टीचिंग्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। तस्माद् भवन्तो हृदयेन जातः सर्वे महीयांसम अमुम सनाभम। अखिलिस्त बुद्ध्या भरतं भजोद्वम् शुश्रूषणं तद् भरणं प्रजानां। तस्माद् भवन्तो हृदयेन जातः सर्वे महीयां सममुं सनाभम्। अक्लिष्टबुद्ध्या भरतं भजाद्वम् शुश्रूषणं तद्भरणं प्रजाननम्। तस्माद् भवन्तो हृदयेन जातः सर्वे महीयां सममुं सनाभम्। अक्लिष्टबुद्ध्या भरतं भजाद्वम् शुश्रूषणं तद्भरणं प्रजानम्। माताजी Tasmat, therefore, because I am the Supreme, Bhavantah, you, Hridayena, from my heart, Jatah, born, Sarve, all, Mahiyamsam, the best, Amum, that, Sanabham, brother, Aklishta Buddhaya, with your intelligence, without material contamination. Bharatam, Bharata, Bhajadvam, just try to serve. Shushrushanam, service. Tat, Bharanam, Prajanam, ruling over the citizens. Translation. My dear boys, you are all born from my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother Bharat, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourself in Bharat's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word Hridaya indicates the heart, which is also called Ura, the chest. The heart is situated within the chest, and although instrumentally the son is born with the aid of the genitals, he is actually born from within the heart. According to the heart's situation, the semen takes the form of a body. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, when one begets a child, his heart should be purified through ritualistic ceremony known as Garbhadhan. Rishabhdev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhdev were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Rishabhdev suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised the others to serve him. All the brothers of Bharat Maharaj were advised by Rishabhdev to adhere to Bharat's service. The question may be asked why one should be attached to family members, for in the beginning it is advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it is also advised, Mahisham Pada Rajobhishekam, one has to serve the Mahiyan, one who is very spiritually advanced. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte, by serving the Mahat, the exalted devotee, one's path for liberation is opened. The family of Rishabhdev should not be compared to an ordinary materialistic family. Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhdev's eldest son, was specifically very exalted. For this reason, the other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bharat Maharaj to be the chief ruler of the planet. This is the real plan of the Supreme Lord. In the battle of Kurukshetra, we find that Lord Krishna wanted Maharaj Yudhishthir to be the supreme emperor of this planet. He never wanted Duryodhan to take the post. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Rishabhdev's heart is Hridayam Yatra Dharmaha. The characteristic Dharma is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To protect Dharma, Paritranaya Sadhunam, the Lord always wants the ruler of the earth to be a devotee. Then everything goes on nicely for the benefit of everyone. As soon as a demon rules the earth, everything becomes chaotic. At the present moment, the world is inclined towards democratic progress. But the people in general are all contaminated by the modes of passion and ignorance. Consequently, they cannot select the right person to head the government. The president is selected by the votes of ignorant Shudras. Therefore, another Shudra is elected. And immediately the entire government becomes polluted. If people strictly follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, they would elect a person who is the Lord's devotee. Then automatically there would be good governance. Rishabhdev therefore recommended Bharat Maharaj as the emperor of this planet. Serving a devotee means serving the Supreme Lord. For a devotee always represents the Lord. When a devotee is in charge, the government is always congenial and beneficial to everyone. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to welcome all of you to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's an honor and pleasure to be at Govardhan Eco Village. And this place is such an auspicious place and such a beautiful place to always be in. So today is Dwadasi, and it is specifically a very, very important day. It's Rukmini Dwadasi. It's the appearance day of Rukmini Devi. So on today's occasion, considering the verse and also the occasion today, I thought I'll speak on how a good leader. So here in this verse, Rishabhdev is recommending his sons to select Bharat Maharaj as their leader and serve him, worship him, and take shelter of him. So, in this story of Rukmini Devi, which is very, very powerful and famous, we also find that choices are very important for from a leadership perspective. So, what I'm going to do today is just to commemorate and remember the greatness of Rukmini Devi, we're going to discuss the pastime of Rukmini Vivaha and specifically focus on the choice that Rukmini Devi made. So there was a choice that she had to make from choosing Shishupal or choosing Gopal, and how she made that choice. And also from Krishna's point of view, when he chose Rukmini, how he made that choice. So that's kind of the center of what we're going to be discussing. And while we're discussing Rukmini Devi's story, we'll also look at our own lives. How that story of Rukmini Devi is relevant to our lives also, and the choices that we make in our lives also. Srimad Bhagavatam is an incredible book, because it has such a range of emotions and it covers such a range of topics, all the way from finance to romance to passion to compassion and to everything in between. So the difference between the love stories of this world and the love stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that in the love stories of this world, there is a very mundane angle to it. But in the love stories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and all our scriptures, there is such a devotional angle to it. So apparently we are going to be discussing a love story today, but it's also a story of choices. It is also a story of something much, much deeper than just the external factor of love. And of course, it helps us understand a much deeper aspect of devotional service. In this world, gravitational force pulls us down. Anything that is up automatically comes down in this world. But in Krishna's law, when you practice spiritual life, Krishna pulls you up. So the nature of attraction in this world is that people can do anything to achieve, you know, some love, some position, some money, and compromise on all kind of principles and morals to achieve that. But to achieve love for Krishna, what extent a living entity can go, to what extent a person can do and should do to achieve love of Krishna is what this story is all about. So this story, it begins with a decision that is made by the father. Elders in the family, they make many decisions. Like here in this particular story that we are discussing, Rishabhdev is making a decision that Bharat Maharaj is going to be the next king and all his sons should follow Bharat. Now it's a decision made by an elder. In today's time and age, youngsters will never accept elders' decision, isn't it? So if some of Rishabhdev's sons were born in today's age, they would have challenged him. They said, why are you making him king without asking us, you know? So it's all about equality. But in this world, actually there's no equality. Everybody gets rights and responsibilities, positions, not according to equality, but according to qualification, isn't it? And that's the reality of this world. So, the father of Rukmini Devi, Bhishmaka, he made a decision based on his son's recommendation. Rukmi was a son of Bhishmaka and Rukmini's brother. He pushed his father to decide to marry Rukmini to Shishupal. And that choice of marriage was not so much based on compatibility, but it was more based on convenience. It was more based on a political alliance. So Rukmi pushed his father to choose Shishupal, but Rukmini, in her heart, she had already chosen Krishna. So now Bhishmaka, he was a little on the innocent side, simply because he was very easy to manipulate. So Rukmi, the son, manipulated his father's thought process and choices and made the father choose Shishupal as the to be husband of Rukmini. So when the story was being told by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj tells Shukadeva Goswami that I heard that Krishna married Rukmini in the Rakshasa style. So he says, Parikshit Maharaj says, can you please tell me the story in great detail, how Krishna married Rukmini in the Rakshasa style? And then Parikshit Maharaj says, Brahman Krishna Kata Punya Madhaver Loka Malapaha Kono Tapyeta Shrunu Shravanu Shruta Jito Nitya Nutana. He says, he's telling Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahman, how could anyone get satiated listening to the pious, charming and ever fresh activities, topics of Lord Krishna? And these topics of Lord Krishna have the ability to cleanse the world's contamination. So Parikshit Maharaj is telling Shukadeva Goswami, there are three things which is the nature of Krishna Katha. The first thing is Krishna Katha is pious, Krishna Katha is charming, and Krishna Katha is ever fresh. So that means if you hear the same story hundreds of times, it should ideally feel fresh. And Parikshit Maharaj is telling Sukadeva Goswami that when anyone hears Krishna Katha, the effect is cleansing of the heart. So now, whenever we hear love stories in this world, it doesn't exactly cleanse the heart. It confuses the heart, it contaminates the heart, it bewilders the heart. But when we hear love stories of Krishna, it has the effect of cleansing the heart. So this story begins with the Sukadeva Goswami talking about the names of the sons of Bhishmaka, the five sons of Bhishmaka and the one daughter of Bhishmaka. So you'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there is a lot of details given on connections. You know, father's name, father's name, son's name, son's name. And some chapters are completely names only. You know, this person was born to this person was born to that person, this. So now you might wonder, why are there so many names in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Does it even matter? So many names. How many names are we going to remember? The reason Srimad Bhagavatam mentions names is because Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioning, is giving a lot of priority to energy. So when we are associated with some person, you know, some ancestry, like for example, when you go to a temple, you are asked to tell your gotra. Now why, I mean, you might ask, what is this? If you ask, like modern people, when they go to temples, they ask gotra. They'll say, I don't have any gotra. I don't know any gotra. Because they don't care to know connections. But the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about connections very importantly, because those connections have energy. And a lot of our energy is stuck in the past. We can call this as Pitra Dosh or whatever you can call it, you know. So these energies are very important. And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about flow of energy into a family, into a genealogy. And when the energy is flowing very smoothly, that person lives a very healthy life. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, very healthy life. And somewhere when the energy is stuck, that person has a very unhealthy life in many ways. So Srimad Bhagavatam specifically talks about these connections to emphasize energies. So when Rukmini hears that her father and brother have chosen Shishupal over Krishna, she feels very bad. Because Rukmini has had a fascinating youth, and her entire youth has gone in hearing Krishna Katha. People from different parts of the world would come to Vidarbha. Vidarbha was a center for many reasons. And naturally people from Dwarka also came to Vidarbha. And you know, imagine Dwarka is in Gujarat, Vidarbha is in Maharashtra, you know. But there was so much of trade and so much of transactions happening between the two places. And especially Brahmanas would travel regularly to Vidarbha Desh. So whenever trade people, whenever business people, whenever Brahmanas would come to Vidarbha, Rukmini Devi would invariably hear about Krishna's pastimes from them. And by hearing about Krishna's pastimes on a constant basis, she began to associate with Krishna. It is explained that the attraction towards Krishna developed by hearing the glories of Krishna from sadhus. And slowly, as Rukmini started hearing the qualities of Krishna, the verse explains, she became sadrisham. The word sadrisham means she started developing the same qualities like Krishna. So why do we hear Krishna Katha? The reason we hear Krishna Katha is because when we hear about the glories of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, those qualities start manifesting in us. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Unfortunately, most people today are engaged in katha of this world. Prabhupada calls it Gramya Katha.
So when you are engaged in hearing the glories and the activities of people of this world, you develop those qualities in you. So which are not exactly divine qualities, you know. So why is it advised that devotee should not engage in gossip, engage in fault finding? Simply because the more you talk about faults of others, those faults come in you. The more you talk about good in others, those qualities come in you. So Rukmini Devi was constantly engaged in hearing good qualities of Krishna. And because she was constantly engaged in good qualities of Krishna, she became Sadrishim. That means those good qualities manifested in Rukmini Devi herself. So the soul is qualitatively similar to Krishna. And the attraction is natural. But for those qualitative qualities of the soul to become unmanifested, it has to be bathed in Krishna Katha. The soul has to be bathed in Krishna Katha. The more your soul is bathed in Krishna Katha, that much the external, you know, layers fall apart and the soul gets nourished. You know, when I was, we were coming to Krishna consciousness in the beginning stages, you know, we used to attend classes, and then sometimes it would happen that some of the devotees, you know, would fall asleep. It's natural when you're hearing classes. So though a lot of people who have insomnia should attend ISKCON classes, you know. Very good cure for insomnia. Just sit in a class and you will knock off in some time, you know. So my father used to encourage them by saying, don't worry. Even if your body is sleeping, your soul is hearing. And the, you know, those devotees to feel really encouraged. Very good. I'm not recommending that your body should sleep and your soul should hear. But the soul is so nourished when we hear Krishna Katha. And that nourishment of the soul manifests in the form of attraction. So Krishna, he was so attractive to Rukmini. She never saw him. She never interacted with him. She only heard about him and she developed an attraction. All of us are very similar to Rukmini in our situation. You know, we may not be in Vidarbha, but wherever we are in our own places, we are very far from Krishna. And we have no connection with Krishna. And our alliance is already done with Shishupal, like people in this world. You know, so we are already connected very strongly with Shishupal mentalities. And the way for us ahead is that we slowly start associating with sadhus who help us understand and hear Krishna's qualities. And as we hear Krishna's qualities more and more and more, those qualities start manifesting in us and we start developing an attraction towards Krishna, which is already naturally there. So Rukmini, the more she heard, the more she was firm in her choice. This is the first C in spiritual life, choices. We will see through the story, we're going to learn six C's. And each of these six C's are natural manifestation in our own lives as we start practicing Krishna consciousness. So Rukmini made her choice based on two things. First, so anytime we make choices, choices are based on two things. One is attraction. Why we choose one thing or another thing? You go to a store to buy a garment. You choose one garment over another simply because there is attraction. The second reason why, or second way, second basis on which we make choices is reasoning. One is attraction and second is reasoning. So that means we get attracted and develop our reasoning based on what we hear. So without reasoning, if you do something, that attraction doesn't last for too long. So if you're attracted to something or someone, and that attraction is just based on seeing, how long will you be attracted to that person? Not much. But after seeing and being attracted naturally, you hear about that person, the glories of the person, the qualities of the person, the activities of the person, then the attraction becomes lasting. So in Rukmini Devi's case, she did not have the option of seeing Krishna. She only had the option of hearing Krishna. And through hearing and through reasoning, she developed an attraction towards Krishna, which was a long-lasting attraction. So, for us to make the right choices, for Rukmini to make that choice, she had the association of sadhus. The more we have association of sadhus, the more we have the ability to make the right choice. By making choices, we are actually strengthening some muscles. See, there are gross muscles in our body and there are subtle muscles in our body. So we all have gross muscles that need to be exercised to become strong. You know, if you don't exercise, the gross muscles become weaker. That is why when you come to GEV, it is a very good test. Because you have to walk a lot. Even to eat food, you have to walk. Even, you know, even to attend Mangalarti, for everything you have to walk. So coming to GEV is a very good health test of what your health status is. So when you exercise your physical muscles, they become strong. Similarly, there are some subtle muscles in our body, which many times we don't exercise. Like say, for example, if we want to make some choices, there are some muscles that help us make some choices. There are some things you have to push against, and there are some things you have to pull. So when you go to a gym, what do? Push and pull, right? Push against some weight, you pull some weights. So by pushing and pulling, you are strengthening your physical muscles. Similarly, the subtle muscles that we have, which are called choice muscles, you strengthen them by pushing and pulling. You push against some temptations and you pull, you know, your attraction towards Krishna. So as you, so basically when you come in the association of devotees, the devotees teach us how to pull and push. Just like when you go to a gym, you need an instructor who tells you how to pull and push. If you don't have an instructor to teach you how to pull and push, you end up hurting your muscles. Similarly, when you want to make your choice muscles stronger, you need to have instructors who tell you how to pull and how to push. So with the association of sadhus, Rukmini Devi was able to pull her attraction towards Krishna, towards herself, and push her temptations away from the wrong kind of association and the wrong kind of choices. So Shishupal was a very easy choice for Rukmini. If she chose Shishupal, what happens in her life? Let us just assume that Rukmini Devi chose Shishupal. Would her life have become, would her marriage have become so complicated? Absolutely not. It would have been a very easy marriage, very pomp marriage, very joyous marriage, and a very nice marriage externally. But internally, she would have been miserable. So Rukmini Devi, she made one choice. And the result of making that one choice was that it brought a lot of challenges in her life. Whenever you choose Krishna, you are also choosing challenges. Whenever you choose Krishna, you are not choosing an easy life. Whenever you make the choice of choosing Krishna in your life, you are literally provoking challenges to come into your life. You know, when you don't choose Krishna, there is no problem only. What is the problem? Everything is smooth and steady and seems to be relaxed. But in the heart, you're not satisfied. In the heart, you feel something is missing. When you choose Krishna, your heart immediately feels satisfied, but you will have to be ready to go through a lot of challenges in your life. First challenge comes from your relatives only. Isn't it? From your family members only the first challenge comes. You know, half the challenges are around you. When Rukmini chose Krishna, her challenge didn't come from outside. Her challenge came from within the family. Her own brother turned against her. Her own father turned against her. Her own family members turned against her. When you choose Krishna, you're ready to accept challenges. Life is like a washing machine. If you have seen how cloth, you know, functions in a washing machine, it's very interesting. That's why washing machines have glass doors, so you can see what is happening inside. When you look inside the washing machine, what is happening to the cloth, you should understand that's exactly what is happening to you and me in our lives. This world is like a big washing machine in which we are thrown. Cloth is thrown into the washing machine because it is dirty, isn't it? Dirty cloth, when it is inside the washing machine, it gets beaten so badly. It gets squeezed, it gets pushed, it gets... What happens to the cloth? I mean, if you look at what happens to the cloth, it is very scary. Imagine all that happens to us. That's exactly the way the world is designed. The way this world is designed is to purify you. Somebody is going to beat you up. Somebody is going to squeeze you. Somebody is going to pinch you. Somebody is going to poke you. So many things are going to happen to you just so that you come out purified from this washing machine of this world. So all the challenges that you go through, once you choose Krishna, are simply meant to purify you. Are simply meant to create an environment in which you get purified. So the moment you make choices, challenges come in your life. So Rukmini made the choice, I want to marry Krishna. Now the challenge was, how? Krishna is so far away, Rukmini is so far away, and the marriage is going to happen the very next day. And Rukmini is thinking, how do I deal with such a big calamity? So whenever you make choices and you come across challenges in your life, those challenges are simply a test of your commitment. Many, many people who go through challenges in their life, when they face challenges, they'll say, bas ho gaya, I can't handle it anymore. I know so many people who, at the first challenge in their life, the first thing they give up is Krishna consciousness. Array, the challenges are come not to help, not to make you give up your Krishna consciousness. It is come to test your commitment towards Krishna consciousness. And if we give up our Krishna consciousness whenever every challenge comes, then where is the question of attaining Krishna? Where is the question of attaining Krishna? And those challenges will come in different ways. Don't think challenges come in only one way. It will come in so many ways. As long as we remember that the challenges are simply a test of our commitment, we will be inspired to face those challenges with enthusiasm and not give them up. So Rukmini Devi realized there is a challenge. The first challenge is how to connect with Krishna. And she decided to deal with that challenge by writing a letter. This is the first love letter in the world. And this is written by a girl to a boy. And we have heard of love letters written by a boy to a girl, so many, you know. But here is a love letter written by a girl to a boy. And Rukmini Devi, when she wrote this letter, she expressed her heart to a person that she didn't know at all. She has never seen, never met, and that person has never seen her. So how does she expect Krishna to understand her? The way she expects Krishna to understand, of course, you can say Krishna is Paramatma in her heart, he'll understand her. But the Bhagavatam explains, the way she expected Krishna to understand her is through her words. And therefore, when you want to convey your heart to the Lord, it is important to choose the right words. Prayers are those words that are instrumental in conveying our heart to the Lord. So when we stand in front of the Lord and offer prayers which are heartfelt, which are really, really coming from the bottom of our hearts, those prayers teach Krishna, or rather show Krishna our sincerity and show Krishna the state of our heart. Obviously, we might say that I am not a writer. I don't write books. I don't write prayers. I can't write anything. Whatever I write, I myself can't understand. So what do I expect Krishna to understand? It's very simple. If you don't have prayers of your own, it's okay. Copy somebody else's prayers. You know, there are great devotees of the Lord who are offered wonderful prayers. And out of all the prayers that are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other scriptures, at least one prayer will resonate with your state of heart. At least one prayer will resonate with your mood, with your consciousness, with the way you think, and with what you are going through. If you just offer that one prayer to the Lord in exactly those words, they really touch the Lord's heart. Like, for example, when Kaliya was beaten up by Krishna so badly, and the Patni, the wives of Kaliya came and offered prayers to Krishna. Kaliya heard those prayers of his wives. Now Kaliya in his life had never offered prayers. He didn't know how to offer prayers. He had never ever thought about praying to Krishna. But when he heard his wives offering prayers, and when he heard his wives praying to Krishna, Kaliya simply repeated the prayers of his wives as it is. He didn't add anything of his own. He just repeated the prayers of his wives as it is. And interestingly, Krishna accepted his prayers as his own. So when Rukmini Devi is writing a heartfelt letter to Krishna, do not think that this is a letter written by Rukmini to Krishna. That letter is a letter written on behalf of all of us to the Lord. So Rukmini is a divine mother. She is writing a letter on behalf of all of us to the Lord. And if we simply repeat that letter as it is, it exactly suits our purpose also. It exactly suits our need also. Just like Rukmini wants to connect with Krishna, all of us also want to connect with Krishna. And there are so many reasons, there are so many challenges, there are so many people that are preventing us from connecting to Krishna. There are so many challenges that are not allowing us to connect with Krishna completely. And those challenges are testing our commitments. And simply, just like Rukmini, put all her challenges down in one letter. Let us all put all our challenges down in one prayer. And then send it to Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master. Rukmini Devi does not send, you know, the letter to Krishna by courier or speed post, you know. Rukmini Devi does not send an email to Krishna directly asking for his email address, you know. Rukmini Devi didn't send him a WhatsApp message and, you know, or DM'd him on his Instagram profile, you know. Rukmini Devi chose to send her message through a brahmana. So which means, when we have been trying to connect with Krishna, it is important to connect with Krishna through the spiritual master, through the medium of a guru. Rukmini, she is very much aware that she is going through challenges, and those challenges are testing her commitment. But Rukmini is also aware that whenever she goes through challenges that are testing her commitment, it is important to show our connection. When you are standing on the door of the spiritual world, at the entrance of the spiritual world, they ask you, who are you? Please don't make the mistake of telling your name there. You will not be given entry there. You need to tell the name of your acharya. You need to tell the name of your guru. And that's when you will get entry. Whenever the spiritual connections are spoken about, that is your qualification. If you go to great devotees of the Lord, the first thing they'll ask you is, who is your acharya? Because we are nothing. Who are we? We are insignificant living entities in this world. You may be a great scholar, you may be a great pandit, you may be a very rich person, you may be a very, you know, beautiful person. All that is not your qualification to connect with Krishna. The qualification for you to connect with Krishna is your acharya, is your connection with your guru. If your connection with your guru is powerful, then your connection with Krishna is going to become obviously powerful. If your connection with your guru is weak, your connection with Krishna is going to be very weak. Now you might say that I don't have time with my guru only. How will I connect, you know? You don't have to connect with your guru by spending 2 hours, 3 hours with him. That is not the way guru connections happen. These connections are in the heart. These connections are very deep. They are the level of the soul. So look at connections with the spiritual master, not from the form of physical connections, but in the form of mood. When you understand the mood of your teacher, when you understand the mood of your guru, that is when you're connected to your guru. When you don't understand the mood of your guru, even if you're physically staying with your guru, you're not connected with your guru. And how do you understand the mood of your guru? Two things. One is by observing, and one is by listening. When you observe your guru and listen to your guru, that is when you understand the mood of your guru. Ramanujacharya, who was such an exalted personality, acharya, guru of thousands of people, He went to Tirupati to meet for many reasons. One is obviously to have darshan of Balaji, but second is to meet one of his gurus, whose name was Sri Shailapurna, who lived on the Tirupati mountains. And Ramanujacharya, he is such an amazing disciple. But, you know, I'm going to tell you the story just to help you understand what an amazing guru he had also. Ramanujacharya had many gurus, of which Sri Shailapurna is a very special person. So Ramanujacharya, when he went to Tirupati, Balaji, the Tirumala Hills, he felt very bad that he didn't want to step on that hill. But that, because that hill represents Anantashesh. The hill represents the Supreme Lord. And Ramanujacharya himself is Anantashesh, isn't it? So who else will know the glory of that hill than him, you know? So Ramanujacharya didn't want to climb up that hill with his foot. He walked up the hill on his knees. Imagine climbing up, and that is those days, even no, you know, steps and pathways and roads and all that. Like actually climbing a mountain on your knees, you know. So at some point, Ramanujacharya, so the guru of Ramanujacharya came running down, Sri Shailapurna, and got some Mahaprasad of Balaji for Ramanujacharya to meet him somewhere in Bidwe. So Ramanujacharya, when he saw his guru coming all the way to meet him, he felt a little bad. So he told his guru, Sri Shailapurna, "My dear master, why did you come yourself? You could have sent some, you know, servant, some small, you know, small devotee you could have sent." Sri Shailapurna said, "I wanted to send a small devotee, some, you know, small junior devotee. I searched all over. I couldn't find anyone more junior than me, more smaller than me. So I only came." Yeah. Imagine. So now, when you understand the mood of your guru, then you understand your guru. Then you actually develop a connection with your guru. When Ramanujacharya heard this, he was amazed. That's when if you understand this one story, with this one story, Ramanujacharya's connection with his guru increased another level, because he understood his guru's mood another level, isn't it? So every time we hear and observe our teacher, and we understand the mood of our teacher, our connection with our teacher grows another level. And that is the way in which you develop your connection with your guru. So Rukmini Devi, she heard about Krishna, his glories, absorbed the qualities of Krishna, absorbed her attraction towards Krishna, and she decided to choose Krishna over Shishupal. The moment she chose Krishna over Shishupal, so many challenges came in her life, and she decided to deal with those challenges which were a test of her commitment. And she decided to deal with those challenges which were testing her commitment through her connection with the guru. She sent this Brahmana with a message. And Krishna, he received the message from this Brahmana. And when this Brahmana came to Dwaraka, Krishna told this Brahmana, "Read the message." The Brahmana was bewildered. He is a love letter, private love letter sent from a girl to a boy. And Krishna is telling, read loudly. Your connection with Krishna is not a private affair. Your connection with the Lord is not a private affair. It's a public affair. A lot of people feel very shy to express their love for God, to express their connection with God, to even admit that they are devotees of God, right? So here Krishna is saying, don't hide your connection with me. Let the world know about your connection with me. So he made the Brahmana read the letter. And when Krishna saw the mood of Rukmini Devi, which was manifesting through that letter, Krishna immediately developed an attraction towards her. He immediately developed a very powerful connection, attraction towards her. And he told this Brahmana that, "Don't worry, I'll come." And so Krishna kind of assured the Brahmana, and he decided to go towards Dwaraka. He asked his driver, Daruka, to make his chariot ready. In the meanwhile, Rukmini Devi is waiting. The next morning, the marriage is supposed to happen. No news has come from Dwaraka. No pigeons, no letters, nothing. The Brahmana also is missing. The next day morning, she is supposed to get married in a matter of few hours. No news at all. She has no idea. She gets ready because she is not sure whom she is going to marry, Shishupal or Gopal. You know? And when she goes to the Ambika temple to offer her prayers, even then she has no idea whether, you know, this Brahmana is going to come or not. And then when she offers her prayers to Ambika Devi, she offers her prayers, heartfelt prayers, only praying for Krishna. This is the interim time that tests our composure. This is the fifth C. All of us, we make our choices. We are ready to face challenges. We are ready to show our commitment. We even have tried developing our connection with our guru. But after all that also, there is a long wait period, which tests our composure. Whether you are ready to have faith in Krishna or not. So Rukmini Devi, till the last moment, she had no idea whether Krishna is going to come or not. And she only had to keep herself composed. She only had to keep herself calm. She only had to keep herself patient. Krishna, he has his own ways of testing our patience. He has his own way of testing our composure. He has his own ways of testing our faith. And those ways are usually non-conventional ways. You expect Krishna to test you in this way, he'll test you in some other way only. And every time you face those tests, just remind yourself, relax, calm down, let me be composed. Remember this episode of Rukmini Devi. Remember the way she was hankering, she was unsure. Her life is at stake over here. And yet at that point, she has to be composed. And then she sees somewhere in that crowd, she sees her Brahmana. Somewhere just before you see Krishna, you will see your guru. Your connection with Krishna is always through your teacher. And your connection and your teacher tries to connect you with Krishna, and Krishna tries to connect you back with your teacher. So it's like a cyclic thing, you know. So she sent her guru to Krishna, Krishna sent her guru back, you know, to her. The moment she saw this Brahmana, she knew that there is some possibility here. But yet she was not sure. And then there were thousands of people standing over there. And Shishupal and all these, you know, demons were also standing there. And Rukmini came out. Her eyes were searching for Krishna constantly. And she couldn't find Krishna anywhere. But all those people who were looking at Rukmini, they were amazed. The beauty of Rukmini was so mesmerizing that people were falling off from elephants, people were falling off from chariots, people were falling unconscious, just looking at Rukmini's beauty. But Rukmini was just looking for Krishna somewhere. And just when she thought Krishna is not going to come, something amazing happened. The sixth C for us to connect with Krishna is known as certainty. Krishna will come. Certainly he'll come. But he will not come according to your time zone. He'll come according to his own time. You know? You expect him to come at 9 o'clock. He will come any other time except 9 o'clock. You know? So less like if you want to call somebody in London or some other country, you know, you have to first find out what is the time zone of that person and then make a call, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna comes, certainly comes, but his time zone is different. The way he times his coming is very different from the way we expect him to come. He will certainly come. But when he'll come, nobody can say anything. He'll come at the right moment. And exactly at the right moment, Krishna came, lifted Rukmini in 1 second, put on the chariot and went away. And all these guys are wondering, what happened? Rukmini is missing. And that's when they realize Krishna has taken her away already. Imagine, till now, Rukmini has not even seen Krishna. Not even had one conversation with Krishna. But the first experience that she has with Krishna is Krishna lifting her and taking her away. So you might say that our entire life, we are waiting, waiting, waiting. No experience with Krishna at all. No darshan of Krishna at all. But certainly he'll come. And when he comes, it will be in the most unexpected moment of your life. He'll just pick you up and take you along. And then something happens, which is the last thing I'm going to share. This is the most amazing part of this story. When Krishna puts her on the chariot and takes her away, all these guys suddenly wake up and they realize Rukmini is gone. They all start chasing Krishna and they start shooting arrows. And you know, imagine the first time Rukmini is actually seeing Krishna with her, so much fear, arrows are flying in all directions, you know. And then, you know, Krishna's chariot is going ahead and this whole, you know, army of Shishupal and all of them is chasing. And then suddenly Balaram's army comes in between and starts fighting with these people, you know. And Krishna turns towards Rukmini and says something beautiful. And this, I feel, is the highlight of the story. Krishna turns towards Rukmini and tells her, "Don't worry, your army will take care of the enemies." He says, "Your army," he tells Rukmini. Whose army it is? It's Krishna's army, right? But he tells her, "It's your army." That means he has handed over the whole property of Dwarka to Rukmini already. So the moment you connect with Krishna, he is ready to give you everything. Everything he owns is yours. Everything he has is yours. The only thing you have to say is, "I am yours." The moment you say that I am Krishna's, Krishna will transfer all his property to you. And that's what the whole idea of, you know, the liberation is. He's ready to share his abode. He's ready to share his beauty. He's ready to share his opulences. He's ready to share everything with us. The only thing that we need to do is be ready to accept it and say that I'm yours. I'll end by telling one very sweet story, which is not a childhood story of Krishna, which is not a adulthood story of Krishna. It's not connected to Rukmini Devi's story, but it's one of my favorite stories, which I heard from a Vrajavasi in Vrindavan. And it's such a sweet story. One time, Krishna was celebrating his birthday, and all the friends of Krishna came to celebrate his birthday along. And everyone got different gifts for Krishna. Somebody gave him a small flower. Every small gift that Krishna would get, Krishna would become so happy and so excited with those gifts. Somebody, you know, put a tilak made of cow dung on his forehead. And Krishna was so thrilled. He went and showed everyone, "See what Bhadra has given me." And then somebody gave him a three-colored flower. And Krishna became so excited. So like this, Krishna was, you know, getting these small little gifts. And then at the end of the whole thing, Krishna wanted to give some return gifts to his friends. And that's when the problem began. Krishna didn't know what to give. And his father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they prepare for the whole year for this day. And they collect so many gifts for Krishna to give back on his birthday as return gifts. And Krishna is looking at all the gifts that Nanda and Yashoda have collected. You know, huge diamond from somewhere. There's a big conch from the deepest oceans. A silk cloth from some other country. So many gifts. And Krishna says, none of these is good. He's comparing those gifts with what the gifts that his friends have given. And he says, all these are useless. And he starts crying and crying and crying. And Nanda and Yashoda, they don't know how to deal with this. And that's when Balaramji comes in. Balaramji is a wise man of the house. So he knows how to solve problems. He's Adi Guru, right? So Balaramji comes to Krishna and tells him, he asks him a question. He says, "Krishna, what do you have that your friends don't have?" And Krishna starts thinking. He thinks for a few moments. And then suddenly he gets an idea. He runs to his friends, jumps on his friend, he catches hold of a friend, Bhadra, he hugs him. He says, "Bhadra, I am yours." And he goes to his next friend, hugs him, and he says, "Toke, I am yours." Every friend Krishna hugs and he says, "I am yours." So what is it that his friends don't have? They don't have him only. And what is the best gift that Krishna can give his friends? He can give himself only, right? So for all of us who are on this very auspicious day of Rukmini Dwadasi, we're trying to develop our connection with Krishna. We have understood two things. One is that when we give ourselves to Krishna, Krishna is ready to give himself to us. And the second thing is, the way to give ourselves to Krishna is by these six things: making the right choices, deal with challenges, which test our commitment, and which help us develop our connection with the Guru, and that tests our composure. And finally, remember, certainly Krishna will come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.